Thanks for joining us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located here in Portland, Oregon. In this podcast, we continue our series called Love Wins. Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center, continues this study with a message titled Love Is. The primary scripture for this study comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Now here's Ray.
The culmination of that discipleship emphasis, and we're talking about love. So let's talk about how love wins this morning. And today, what I want to talk about, and really what we're talking about in this series, is how that we as Christ disciples can wield the influence of love, how we can wield the influence of love, which by far, by miles, by millions of miles, is the most powerful force for good in the universe. Do you agree with that, that love is the most powerful force by far for good, for change, for transformation in the universe, that there's no power quite like it? Well, the starting point for that kind of winning love comes from the most profound yet concise statement or concise truth in the entire Bible. It's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, which is repeated verbatim in that same chapter in verse 16. And it simply says this: God is love. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Say that with me. God is love. That's the starting point. That's the starting point for us. If we are going to live in and live out this winning love, this is the starting point for it. In fact, later on in that same chapter, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, the writer says, "We love because God first loved us." Do you know you can't truly love? I mean, you can sort of love, kind of love. It's an incomplete love. But you can't really love like love is meant to be displayed. You won't have the impact like love can impact and transform and change until you understand where it comes from and come into that understanding and experience of God's love. Now, the guy who wrote that statement, God is love, John, talked a lot about love. That's because John had been radically transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. You know, he was one of the 12 disciples that Jesus kind of plucked out and said, "Follow me." And he spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and he was so transformed, so undone by Christ's love, that all he could talk about was love. He talked about it. He thought about it. He wrote about love, and he became known as the Apostle of Love. What a great title that would be, the Apostle of love. Well, he made an equally profound statement in the same letter, 1 John, this time in chapter 3 in verse 1, where he writes this, talking about love. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are." Wow. Wow. The immeasurable grace of that single say, that simple truth, is nothing less than stunning, isn't it? We are the children of God. We are the beloved children of God. Now, as you know, John also wrote the Gospel of John. He's the author of the fourth gospel, which includes the most famous and well-loved statement in the Bible. In fact, I think probably the most well-known and well-loved statement in the entire library of human literature. You know what I'm talking about? John 3:16. Now, I committed this because I grew up in a church home. I committed this verse probably before any other verse to memory. Many of you have memorized this as well. And if you're a seeker here today, a guest, maybe you're not from a church background and you haven't done this, I would encourage you, as you are seeking to discover who Jesus is, that you would commit this verse to memory and think about it. Let it be absorbed into your being. But I want you to either read it off the screen or quote it with me if you know it by heart. Let's do this together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Do you realize, friends, that is the entire Bible in just one verse? I mean, if you want the Cliff Notes version, if you want, maybe this is a crude way to say it, but a Bible for dummies, That would not apply to any of you. That's the next service, obviously, that we're talking about. But this is the Bible in a single statement. John 3:16. It really is. In just one verse, you have such a simple yet profound picture of a loving God who sacrifices his only son to save a lost world. That's really what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And while that verse might appear grammatically in the past tense, God so loved, there's nothing past tense about God's love. God's love is always present tense. God's love is always current. Likewise, you look at that verse and you might say, well, that's just kind of a big generalized kind of love, isn't it? But, God so loved the whole world, but God's love is also a distinctly personal love. Yeah, God sees the world and he loves it, but he didn't just see the world as one big mass of nameless faces. You know, when God was looking at the world, when God thought of the world, he was thinking of you. This current love seeks an object of love, and you are that object of his love. You are a beloved, not a person in this room. It is not an object, a personalized object of God's love. Look at the person you're sitting next to. You're going, I don't know about that. No, I'm telling you, it's true. That person that you're looking at and that they're looking back when they see you is the object of God's intense love. You are a beloved, beloved child of God. I love the way St. Augustine put it. You know, he lived in the 4th century. He's a bishop in North Africa, and he was one of the most brilliant thinkers, even today, up to this point, one of the most influential people in history, in church history especially. And I love the way he said it. He says, God loves each and every one of us as if there were only one of us. Isn't that great? God loves each and every one of us as if there were only one of us. You see, what that means is, if you were the only person who ever lived, if you were the sole human being who was ever created, if you were the only person to walk the face of this planet, there would still be a John 3:16 just for you. God loves you that much. And he would still send his son to die for your sins so that you could be redeemed, forgiven, and brought into his family and given eternal life, even if you were the only person who ever lived. Now, I don't know about you, but that's hard to get my mind around, that God loves me that much, that intensely. I don't know if you really get this or not. I pray that you do. But God has a crazy love for you. Not crazy in the sense of, insane, but crazy because it's beyond human rationale. It's an irrational love, this crazy love that God has for you. He really does. There's a wonderful Christian author, quite prolific, named Max Lucado. You maybe read some of his stuff. He wrote an entire book just on John 3:16. Did you know that? He creatively called it 3:16. And he says this. He says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a photo, if he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Yes, friend, Locato says, God is crazy in love with you. And I would say, if God had a Facebook account, you would be his number one friend. If God had an iPhone, he'd be doing FaceTime with you. I mean, he loves you that much. God is crazy in love with you. And when you truly grasp that, the power of love will absolutely, profoundly change your life. It will change how you think about God, which is a big deal, friends. How you see God, some of you in this room today see God as kind of a demanding, kind of the Old Testament God of judgment, which really is a false view of the Old Testament, by the way, but that's kind of how we've come to think of the Old Testament God. It changes how you think about God. When you come into an understanding of God's love for you, it'll change the way you see yourself. A lot of people don't see themselves with an accurate view, and that messes them up in life. And it will change the way you treat other people. That's why this business of understanding and living in God's love is such a big deal. That's how powerful God's love is. Let me give you an example of the power of love. More than 50 years ago, a sociology professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore gave his class an assignment. They had a project of going into the inner city of Baltimore, and they were to interview 200 inner city boys, which they did. And they were to, based on their interviews and the research that they gathered, they were to make a prediction about how these boys would end up in life, where they would end up in life. And after this class did this, they predicted, these 200 boys they interviewed, they predicted that 90% of them, because of their environment, because of poverty, because of family situations, that 90% of them would spend time in jail. That was their prediction. Well, 25 years later, that professor asked another class to find those same boys, which they did. They tracked them down. They found 180 out of the 200. And they found, amazingly, they found that only 4 of them had ever spent time in jail. You know, they thought that 90%, 180 out of 200. And when they found 180, they found that only 4 of them had ever spent time in jail. Now, why were their predictions so far off? Well, they kind of went to work looking for common denominators, and they only found one. Only found one. The common denominator for the majority of these boys was the influence of one teacher by the name of Sheila O'Rourke. They tracked down Sheila O'Rourke, and she now lived in another state. She was an old lady, and she lived in a nursing home. And they asked her, what was it that allowed you to have such an impact, such a deep impact on these boys? They're now men, but what was it you did? And she was kind of astounded, dumbfounded by their question. She thought about it. She scratched her head, and she said this. She said, all I ever did was love each of them. All I ever did was love each of them. That's the transforming power of love. The most powerful force for good in the universe. Now, think about this. If that's the result of being loved with an imperfect human love, imagine the results of being loved by a perfect divine love, which you are. Which you are. It's just that you may not know that. You may not comprehend that yet. Some of you here today don't comprehend that yet, that you are loved by a God who is intensely in love, crazy in love with you. So this morning, what I want to try to do is to help you to get your arms around God's crazy love for you. So that's my goal today, is just to help you so that when you walk out of here, you have a better understanding, a better grasp, and a firmer commitment that you are the object of God's crazy love. And among the many other mind-blowing things that we could talk about today, here are just a few things that this means for you, being loved with a crazy love from God. A few things that it means for you. To begin with, God's crazy love for you means that you are imperfectly lovable. You are imperfectly lovable. Let me explain that, because this is really good news, by the way, when you're thinking of what does he mean by that? Well, I'm telling you, this is really, really a good thing, because if you're like me, and I suspect that most of you are, you play the part of imperfect to perfection. You're not perfect. You know that. I'm not perfect. I play the part of imperfection really well, perfectly, in my world. And if God's love was like human love, which is very much based upon how lovable we are, isn't it? No, seriously. How cute you are, how cool you are, how pretty you are, how powerful you are, how successful you are, how sexy you are, how, you know, funny you are, how you know, whatever you are. I mean, that's what human love many times is based upon. If God's love was like human love, then we would never be loved. But God's love is unconditional. It's not based upon how perfect we are. It's based upon how perfect God is. And that's just a change in the way you see love that makes all the difference in the world. It's not based upon how perfect you are, because you're not. It's based upon how perfect God is. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, he says, here is how God proves his love. while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. In other words, while we were still imperfect, we were perfectly loved. So we are imperfectly lovable, and that is a good thing. I know that I'm an unlovable kind of guy. I mean, that may surprise you, but my wife told me that sometimes I'm unlovable. We were driving in a car one day, and of course, you know, when your husband and wife are driving in a car and the wife is trying to give directions, you know that usually doesn't go well. You might ultimately get to the destination, but it's a rough ride getting there. And so she was trying to give me directions, and I was being difficult. And she at some point was so frustrated with me that she looked at me and she said, "Did your parents name you Ray Mean?" Wow. She said, "Sometimes you are hard to love." Well, she really does love me, but in that moment, she wasn't quite sure. I was being unlovable. And the truth is, really, the truth is that we are pretty much unlovable, yet God loves us anyway, doesn't he? It's amazing. A singer by the name of Stephen Curtis Chapman said it well. He said, "In the gospel, we discover we are far worse off than we ever thought, and we are. Yet, we're far more loved than we ever dreamed." That's good news. Now, of course, this does not excuse sin. This is not an excuse for sin. In fact, next week we're going to come back. The title of the message today is Love Is. Next week the title of the message is Love Is Not, What Love Isn't. And we need to talk about that because there's some weird ideas about what love isn't. So, what I'm talking about, this unconditional love, doesn't excuse sin. It simply explains God's love. This doesn't excuse your sin. It explains God's love. So one of the first steps of being transformed by God's love and then becoming a human conduit of that love is simply to embrace this truth, to live in and to live out God's transforming love. This winning love has to begin here. We have to begin to accept God's crazy love for us. Listen to this. Your human imperfection doesn't diminish God's love for you one iota. And some of you, I think, really need to hear that message this morning. You've come in here and you've brought some junk with you, some stuff, some darkness, whatever. God's love for you doesn't diminish one iota because of your imperfections. You are imperfectly lovable. Furthermore, God's crazy love for you means that you are incessantly lovable. You're incessantly lovable. God loves you all the time. He can't help himself. You know, if God ever ceased to love you, God would cease to exist, which isn't going to happen because he's God. So therefore, he will never stop loving you. The Apostle Paul talks about it this way in Romans 8:39. He says, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Thank God. Nothing. Nothing. Romans 8, which this verse comes from, which I would encourage you to read today. If you want to really be encouraged about God's love, go back and just read Romans 8 and just soak it in. But Romans 8 is chock full, as my grandma used to say, chock full. I'm not even sure what that means. I think it means really full of truth, to remind us of the unstoppable effort, God exerts to redeem us from sin, remake us into his image, and ready us for his eternal purpose. Now, that's encouraging because on the surface of things, it seems as if the opposite is happening. Sometimes when you think about your own life and, you know, where you're going, you just think, is God really going to be able to perfect his character in me? Is he going to be able to bring me to the finish line? Is God even at work in my life? It just doesn't seem like it. Everything seems the opposite, in fact, of redeeming, remaking, and readying us for glory, that's actually taking place. But the truth is, we need to understand this, that we live in a dual reality, While the work of God is inexorably marching toward a glorious conclusion, we're still trapped in the sinful flesh. We're still living within a sin-infested world. We are under the assault of the king of sin, Satan. Our sense of reality is that sin Our sin, the world's sin, the unrelenting pressure of the sin maker is dragging us in the opposite direction of our redemption. It just seems like that sometimes. But the higher reality, the greater reality is that while that seems true, God is at work in you, working out his eternal purpose. Whatever God begins, the Word of God says, he finishes. God is the great completer. You belong to the great completer. Even though it doesn't look like it at times, he will present you ultimately before his throne without falling and with great joy. He's the great finisher. The good news is, friends, his work in you is unstoppable. It is. Moreover, while you're living in that dual reality between the awful pull of sin and the unstoppable work of redemption, you are inseparable from the stubborn, persistent, irrevocable love of God. You're inseparable from God's love. What is it that can separate you from God's ever-present, redeeming, sustaining love? What is it? Nothing. Thank you. Nothing. Well, what falls into the category of nothing? Everything, right? Everything. Romans 8 reveals an exhaustive list, in case you need ideas, an exhaustive list of things that fall into the category of nothing that can separate you from God's love. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, poverty, danger, persecution, death, life, angels, demons, the present, the future, no powers, height, depth, or anything else in all of creation. That pretty well covers it, don't you think? Not even your, listen to this, not even your sin. Past, present, and this blows me away, not even my future sin. The sin that I'm going to commit tomorrow. I hope I don't, but knowing me, I will. The sin I commit a year from now. The sin I commit 30 years from whatever. Cannot separate me from God's love. God made sure of that by sending Jesus, who hung on the cross to pay the price for that sin. I used to really struggle with that. I just, you know, when I would come to God and I would repent, I'd be so sorry for my sin, and God help me not to do that. But I knew I had a track record of doing that again anyway and having to come back to God and ask for forgiveness. And I used to really worry about, what about those sins out there in the future? And I think God was saying all the time, I got it covered. My son Jesus died for that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So coming into the understanding and experience of God's love and being a conduit of his crazy love means that you need to settle in your heart that come what may, you are held by a love that will not let you go. You are incessantly loved by God. Incessantly loved by God. That leads me to the final point that I want to make this morning. That God's crazy love for you means that you are unforgettably lovable. You're unforgettably lovable. Now, do you realize that there is something that even God cannot do? Omnipotent God cannot do one thing that I know about. You know what that is? Forget about you. God cannot forget you. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16 says it so beautifully. It says it this way. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. This is God speaking. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Now, that's really good news. Because, among other things, no human being wants to be forgettable. You know of any kid, including you as you were a kid, do you know of any kid that wanted to grow up to live a forgettable life? Did any of your kids come to you and say, you know, when I grow up, I want to be forgotten. I want to live a shallow, incomplete, no account life. I want to offer the world a lukewarm existence. Mom and Dad, can you help me with that? And when I die and I'm buried, put me in an unmarked grave. No one ever does that. Of course not. We want to live a significant, memorable life. We all want to be remembered. You know why? You know why we're like that? Because God has wired that into our DNA. And the reason that he's made us that way is to cause us to crave his attention. Now, you know, being an attention getter in human relationships is not always a good thing. You know, sometimes, you know, in your own family or in your friendship circle, you have someone that's always needing attention, right? And at best, that can be kind of irritating. At worst, that is a really annoying trait. It is, but not with God. God made us to crave attention, and so it's okay. It's stunning to me how often the scripture talks about how God goes way out of his way to oblige our need to be remembered. I want to read just a few verses to you. Consider this. Genesis 8:1 says, "But God remembered Noah in the ark." That's my favorite verse, by the way, in the Bible. God remembered Noah. I love that. For obvious reasons. "And so he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded." Genesis 19:29 says, "So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived." God remembered Abraham. Abraham had been praying about something. Genesis 30, verse 22 says, "Then God remembered Rachel. She had been barren in a culture where having children was everything. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb." Exodus 6, 5, God says, "I have heard the groanings of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." 1 Samuel 1:19. "Early the next day, they," that being Elkanah and his wife Hannah, arose, and they worshiped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home at Ramah." And remember, Hannah had been barren. Again, one of these stories of a woman not being able to conceive a child. That very important thing in human culture, but particularly in that culture. It says, "Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." He remembered her prayer. "God, give me a child." Psalm 112, verse 6 says, "Surely a righteous man will never be shaken. He will be remembered forever." Man being generic for mankind. A righteous person will always be remembered by God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." God's promise to you is he will never fail you. He will never forget you. Do you get the picture? Obviously, God wants to convince you that to him, you are unforgettable. I hope you'll always, always, always remember that. Don't forget. God will not forget you. I want to close this service by coming back to one of those verses that we started out with. The most famous verse in the Bible, the most famous statement in all of human literature, John 3:16. And I'll close with this. That verse, John 3:16, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it has 25 words to it. At the center, the 13th word is son. And isn't that perfect that at the center of the most important verse, the most famous verse, is the word son? The son, Jesus Christ. He is the center of the universe. He's the center of God's attention. He is the center of God's strategy, God's plan, God's purpose to reveal his love to this world. The first 12 words of that verse are all about God. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The last 12 words of the verse are all about you. That whosoever, that's you, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God is on one side and mankind is on the other. And Jesus came between the two when he hung on the cross, bringing the two together. Jesus came to bring God's love to you and you into God's love. Not just in eternity, but right now. That was the purpose of the cross. God has an unconditional, unrelenting love for imperfect you. And so I want to know, Today, will you accept? Will you receive? Will you say yes to his love? Maybe for the first time, or maybe for the 100th time, to say, yes, yes, I accept your love. It'll make all the difference in your world. You know, time and again, God has tried to get his message of love through to you and to me. He sent letters, didn't he? He sent his son in person, personally. And I think today that God is personally knocking at your door. God is knocking at the door. Richard Armstrong tells a story in his book, Make Your Life Worthwhile. I read the story this week. Fun, fascinating, moving story. Of a man who lived in Wales who sought to win the affection of a certain woman for 42 years. Persistent, huh? For 42 years, this man sought to win over this woman. For decades, this shy but persistent guy slipped a weekly love letter under her door. But she refused to speak to him because they had parted ways many, many years before over some offense that had happened. So after writing 2,184 love letters with no response, the old guy eventually summoned the courage to present himself in person. So he went over to her. They lived next door to each other. He went over to her house, and he knocked at her door, and she opened the door. Good thing she didn't slam it in and say, she opened the door, and he asked for her hand in marriage. And to his surprise, she accepted. The couple, both 74, recently got married. The one who has a crazy love for you is knocking at the door. So what are you going to do? You going to open the door and let his love flood in? He's crazy in love with you. Receive it. It'll change your life. It'll rock your world. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? If you've never received the love of God that was perfectly displayed through him sending his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem you, as imperfect as you are, he still sent his son to redeem you, to save you, to forgive you, and to bring you into his love, to bring you into his family. If you've never received God's love for you personally, I want to invite you to do that today. And maybe you've never personally made that decision to say, God, I receive your love. I invite you into my life. I believe that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to pay the price for my sins on the cross. So I surrender my life to your love. Will you forgive me? Will you cleanse me? Will you bring me into your family? I give my life to you. If you've never done that, or maybe you've done that in the past, but you're not living in that redeeming love, that saving love today, and you want to surrender your life again to God through Jesus Christ and receive his love all over again, I want you just to slip your hand up and put it back down again so I can pray for you in this final prayer. If that's you all over this place, would you lift your hand and say, I want to receive God's love. I surrender to God's love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks, thanks, thank you. Others, just real quickly, I might not have seen everyone, but if that's you, you say, today, thank you in the back, thank you. I know you're talking to me. God's talking to me. I've resisted his love, but now I see it. I want to receive it. If that's you, raise your hand up right now. Put it back down again. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, but before I do that, I want to just ask one more thing. To those of you who have already made that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, but you'd say, you know, wow, I just haven't been really living in the reality of God's love. It's been more of a duty for me just to walk with God. As I think about it, I'm just going through the motions, and I just need a fresh baptism in that love today, that irrevocable, unconditional, unrelenting love. I need to experience that again. I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I just need to be freshly baptized, immersed in his love. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand up as well? I want to just see who you are, because I want to pray especially for you as well. All right. Would you stand with me, please? And let's pray. So why don't we all pray this prayer out loud together, especially if you were one of the first group that raised your hand to receive Christ. And make this prayer. I'll lead it, and you repeat the words, but just make it your prayer, and God will do what he's promised to do. He'll send his love to clean you up and to save you and to make you part of his family and give you eternal life. It's his gift to you. All you can do is just receive it and say thank you for it. So let's pray this prayer together, every voice. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning and I surrender to your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. So please forgive me of those sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, if you will help me, I will live for you. So God, thank you for your love. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I want to pray for the second group of people, the many, many scores of people that raised their hands and said, I need a fresh baptism of love. Lord, I know what that's like. Because sometimes we forget your love. And we forget to love you. We just go through the motions. We're saved, but we're not living in the light and the warmth of your love for us. And I pray that by your grace today, by your grace, not anything we can do, but by your grace, that you just flood us, flood our hearts with your love. That we would walk out of here with a firm commitment that we are the beloved children of God. I am a beloved child of God. No matter what anybody else thinks, no matter how unlovable I might be to somebody else, I am loved by you. And I pray that we would not only live in, but we would begin to live out that love in a way that releases the most powerful force for good in the universe, God's love flowing through us. Give us that experience today, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So if you were in the first group of people that raised your hand.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah teaching a series called Love Is. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.